so many people, especially well-intentioned Christian folks, that just want to villainize people before getting to know people.
That word right? is vilify. Vilify.
No, I said villainize.
Okay.
That's well, the word I'm using.
We'll go with villainize.
Vilify. Nerd. Villainize. If it wasn't a word, it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many people that want to vilify other people when they don't know anything about them. They don't have any idea why they may walk where they walk, what may be going on in their world, what they're going through when we're busy wanting to crucify them. Yeah, we want to crucify people when we don't even understand where they're coming from. And I hope I do well at that. I know I don't always do well at that because I'm quick to frustrate. Is that a real word? Frustrate?
Well, it is if you're frustrating others to frustrate.
Oh, I was talking about laying flat before the Lord. Oh, that's prostate.
From sibling rivalry to sibling raillery, Hannah and Gary are ordinary siblings on the quest to build extraordinary lives. Join the conversation and good-humored banter as they explore the highs, lows, middle ground moments, and laughable lessons along the personal growth journey. Easter's coming up. We're recording in Holy Week.
Have you watch Nacho Libre? There's a famous line in there.
Yes, I know. Diarrheas since
I've
Easter's.
Had diarrhea since Easter's.
Yeah.
Well, not us, because food's going to be popping for Easter.
Yep. My daughter asked if she could go to the lake this weekend with her friend, and she did not understand when I told her, no, we have 5 more Easters with you. Yeah. That I can guarantee that you're going to be with us.
Yeah,
and after that, absolutely. You can pick where you're going. So
yeah, you don't go to somebody else's Easter.
No.
Unless you just don't have any friends or family there. But
yeah.
If you've got family, you don't do that. That's a sin.
It is a sin. I told her that, too. I told her it's a good thing she has Jesus.
Did you give her dinner that night? Because if Claire screws up in volleyball, she doesn't get to eat.
Yeah.
If they lose a game.
Yeah.
No dinner.
Same.
And that's a pretty big sin to lose when all we do is win, win, win.
I know. It is.
No matter what. All right. What do you want to talk about? What's going on in your world? What'd you do since last time we were sitting
together?
Here? Well, we used to be in my back room, but we've now built this amazing studio because of all the progress we're making. We may try to keep it sounding real, put a dog barking here or there or...
Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff. But we're in the vault now. It's fancy.
Yeah.
$100 million studio.
Basically.
Yeah. Just so y'all know, we're just killing life.
Killing life.
I think I'm going to start something on the internet to tell everybody how to kill life because I've done it for a week.
I've done it for a good couple of days. Couple of days. That's probably why we haven't been able to get together to record sooner because we've been winning so much in the past 3 days. How's 75 hard?
Day 44.
Wow.
So the last couple of days have been tough, actually, because I've just been exhausted. But
so,
it's good. I'm pumped up. 31 days left. So.
Yeah, you're well over halfway.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I started back.
Oh, you did?
The day before yesterday, and then I failed yesterday.
Well, I'm excited you're going to do it again.
It was good anyways, even though I did all day one, and then day two, I failed, but it was, I mean, I still got just about everything done, and so it's still getting me back into the habits I need to be in.
Yeah, it's amazing how you change your mind that much, right, that quick. So we were watching a show the other day, and we keep the subtitles on, and somebody said Jesus Christ, but the subtitle said Jesus Christ, like
cheese is Christ,
like cheeses, like plural cheese.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. We got a kick out of it.
Yeah. Is cheeses a word?
I mean, I think so.
Oh, I guess so. It's just, not. Is the plural of cheese cheeses, or is it cheese?
So, we've probably lost everyone. You're going to have to... Yeah.
We do it every time. I cut out, like, 4 hours worth of content for...
You're not going to get me here for 4 hours.
I can hardly get you here for 5 minutes.
I know. All right, so let's talk about kingdom stuff. Kingdom stuff, kingdom business, whatever we want to go. But it's been on my mind lately, so I thought we could chat about it.
Okay.
And it was on your mind, so.
Yeah, definitely.
What's kingdom business look like to you?
When I'm talking about business, it's about making sure that I'm connecting to my ultimate purpose when I'm operating in business, so that it's that I am ultimately working for the Lord, not for man. And
Colossians 3:23, that's on our sign.
It is on your
Momentum
sign.
Momentum group.
Yeah, and just making sure that I'm working with purpose and aligning with my moral values as a follower of Jesus, and making sure that I'm paying attention to what he's saying, going where he's saying to go, doing what he's saying to do. I had a really cool encounter just this week, actually. I met someone that wanted to go see one of my listings, and we went and saw the house, and then have been looking at some houses here and there. And we were supposed to go look a couple of days ago, and she confided in me that she wasn't going to be able to go because she was having a really hard time emotionally with some things. And night before last, I was going to pick my daughter up from dance, and I wanted to call and check on her, but I thought, oh, I don't have very much time in the car. I was not going to call her because I didn't have enough time. And then I felt really compelled, like, no, call. No matter how much time you have, if you feel compelled to call somebody, you don't have to wait until you have all the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called her and talked with her, and she then told me a whole lot more of what was going on and told me it was a God thing that I called her because she needed to have somebody check on her at that time, and she needed reassurance, and she was feeling anxious, and that it just was perfect timing, exactly what she needed, and it reminded her that God sees her and loves her. And so I was able to pray with her on the phone, and it was just also a faith builder for me and a reminder that everything that we do, it has a deeper purpose. So me meeting this person because she wanted to go see a listing, and she actually told me, I have a lot of people in my life, people who are in ministry, and you are the only person who has ever followed up with me to see how I'm doing. And I've known you for a few days. And it was just a faith builder for me, too, that reminded me to be obedient in those moments. Because sometimes I will dismiss and not do what I need to do because I feel like I don't want to call somebody if I only have, 3 minutes to talk on a drive. I want to be able to reserve time to really talk. And I knew my daughter was going to be getting in the car, and it wasn't going to be a private conversation anymore, but it was needed, and it blessed her heart. And most importantly, she had a faith builder that the Lord knows her and sees her and cares for her.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you give us her name and we'll put it out there?
Yeah.
People can pray for her. Just kidding. Just kidding. I feel like my life has to be kingdom business. I mean, we do church and we do ministry stuff and all that, but if your life's not a ministry in itself, then what are you doing? I just feel like I'm carrying the Lord with me whenever I do things, and I know he's there because I can feel the conviction when I'm astray, or drifting off of that. But I feel like my place have workplace ministry, if that makes sense. Like, there's stuff where you're like, hey, we're going to go out and do some ministry and feed the homeless for the kingdom, which is totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great, but I just want everybody I come in contact to maybe we talk about God things, or maybe they just realize something's different when they talk to me. Because people are watching what you're doing much more than what you're listening to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, this podcast is a perfect example. You said some things, I caught part of it, but I'll watch your life and then it'll tell me whatever you were talking about. Just kidding. So, yeah, I think it's fun to get out there and do these things, and then you have testimonies, and testimonies are what build people's faith and give them hope that what God has done for someone else, he'll do for them. And we've seen so many things over the years, and also the things you do behind the scenes that your clients don't even know you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
when you're cutting grass because they live out of town and it's just not time to go try to find somebody that they can pay to mow their grass, and you go do it yourself, or mopping the floor before a showing because you know it's gotten dusty. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's ministry too. Not everything you do is meant to be public.
Right.
You know, yeah. So for me, I just want to show people what Jesus looks like best I know how. Mm-hmm. And my daily walk. And I've noticed that more people around me have become more interested in the Lord by just watching my life rather than listening to what I'm trying to tell them. Mm-hmm. Although I sound pretty good. I've got some good things to say.
I mean, what do they say after they see how you treat me?
Well, hey, we're just in our church right now, we're going through the book of Joshua, and we just got through talking about killing someone in the promised land and putting their head on a stake. So I say it's biblical.
I like that. I like the way you just pluck that out of there justify.
Sometimes you just got to pick the one little thing you need to justify your behavior.
That's a way of life for me. Like, hey, don't judge me, lest you be judged. Don't be judging me.
Yeah. Lest you be a brother or sister in Christ, and we're going to call out some stuff if we need to, if we're holding each other accountable. What I can't get behind is going and trying to call out sin of people that are lost people. Because lost people act like lost people. And if you expect them to act like people that have come to know the Lord, then all you're going to do is run them off. So I don't get down with spending all my time shouting out at people that aren't acting the way I think they're supposed to act. Because I didn't act that way when I wasn't walking where I'm at right now. And Jesus didn't go scream and yell at the lost people. He showed them love and what kingdom looked like. Whereas ones that he got fired off at were the religious people. They were missing the whole point of the kingdom of God for all of the religious rules and whatnot. Some people feel like they hear the word religion and that just means their church. We're not talking about that. We're talking about all the man-made rules that try to keep us in line for things that God never intended to be rules, you know, and therefore we use that to control and create judgment, whether intentional or not. Of course, I'm not saying we don't all struggle with what we struggle with. However, if I know somebody's not walking with the Lord, me going and bashing them over the head with Jesus is not going to do anything but make them say, well, if that's your Jesus, why would I want that?
So I have to tell you a story that my daughter told me yesterday. And first of all, it made me really, really proud because she's in junior high. Junior high is hard. But she told me yesterday that there's a girl in their school and everybody calls her weird.
You remember what that was like, huh? I just don't want you to be triggered. I'm just saying God loves you and I'm here for you if you start triggering.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll let you know. So Lexi said that there were some boys that were just relentlessly antagonizing this girl in class the other day, not giving her room to breathe at all. And she finally told them, y'all need to stop. Y'all need to be quiet. And they did. And then she said, and so then I went up to her and I let her borrow my paper for the assignment because she's over here having an anxiety attack while the teacher's giving notes. She said the boys were just saying things about her loud enough for her to hear, basically. So just being turds. And she said one of the boys said, well, she just needs Jesus. Lexi said, I just wanted to say to him, well, if this is the Jesus you're going to show her, who do you think's going to show her Jesus? But I was really proud of her. She then invited this girl to sit with them at lunch. And when she invited her to sit with them, the girl looked at her and said, me? And Lexi said, yeah, come sit with us. And she sat about three chairs down. And Lexi said, you can sit closer. And then she said she sat with one chair between them until she warmed up. And then she moved over. Really, it put a lump in my throat as she was telling me the story. Because as a parent, my prayer for my kids has been since they were little that they would love well and be well loved. She's in that age group where you can easily be outcast if you're kind to everybody, that she's choosing to represent Jesus to her peers.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And I think she recognized at that time as well how rewarding that is.
Mm-hmm.
To just be kind.
It's pretty easy to be kind. Pretty easy just to ask somebody what their story is and actually listen.
Well, not for you, if it's me.
What? I was trying to figure out, I'm thinking about what I'm trying to say, and I thought you said something. People are going to think I'm just an ass because they don't know that I'm joking.
Well, we said it in the intro episode that we have a dry sense of humor. So you have to understand a dry sense of humor will be in trouble.
Yeah. And when I talk about ministry, we're not talking about church. We're not talking about the church building. I guess for me, what I try to keep in mind and really try to focus on is Jesus is the example. So what would he have done in this situation? Mm-hmm. Would he call people a bunch of names and protest and tell them that they're going to hell? Or would he show them what who he is and what the kingdom looks like so then they are interested in it? I watched a film one time, a bunch of videos that came out several years ago, the documentaries, Furious Love and all those things. And there was a deal where they were in Utah and they're going around loving on people, and there was a person there that was doing the bullhorn ministry, telling a different religion how they were all going to go to hell, and so they just decided to be good to him, say, hey, how's it going, see you out here, you're working for the Lord or whatever. He's like, yeah, how long you been doing this? Oh, about 12 years. Like, oh, awesome,
how many conversions?
Yeah, like, have you had any luck with anybody coming to the Lord in this? Like, yeah, I've had a couple, you know, couple of people.
14 years.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't want to ever do that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of diversity in our, just in our community here in Abilene, not to mention everywhere across the planet. And so many people, especially well-intentioned Christian folks, that just want to villainize people before getting to know people.
That word, right? Is vilify. Vilify.
No, I said villainize.
Okay.
That's the word I'm using.
We'll go with villainize.
Vilify. Nerd. Villainize. If it wasn't a word, it is now. Mm-hmm. So there's so many people that want to vilify other people when they don't know anything about them. They don't have any idea why they may walk the way they walk, what may be going on in their world, what they're going through when we're busy wanting to crucify them. Yeah, they want to crucify people when we don't even understand where they're coming from. I just know that the Bible says to love the Lord with all your heart and to love your neighbor, and everyone is our neighbor. The people around us are our neighbors, and we need to figure out how to show them kindness before we start crucifying and villainizing. Does that make sense, though? I mean, I know we're laughing a little bit, but I think that we're all on our journey. I think that one of these days, this is a world according to Gary Bone, but I think we're going to get to heaven one of these days, and he's going to show us where we were right and where we were so far off base and be like, dang, yeah, I sure thought I was right on that one. Mm-hmm. Turns out that person was right on that one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, are we trying to show people the love of the Lord in what we do, whether it be overtly, covertly, or just by the way we live? And I think it's just important we do that. And I hope I do well at that. I know I don't always do well at that because I'm quick to frustrate. Is that a real word? Frustrate?
Well, it is if you're frustrating others to frustrate.
Oh, I was talking about laying flat before the Lord. Oh, that's prostate.
Oh, that's so funny. That was funny.
Sorry. Anyways, I'm quick to allow myself to be frustrated sometimes, and it's usually with people that I hold a standard for. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody told me one time, like, you know, you show more love to homeless folks than you do me. And like, ugh.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah. And it was a good word to hear. I needed to
hear
it.
You're more intentional. And it is easier to be intentional with people that are not closest to you, because the people closest to you are the ones that, like you said, you have a certain standard in your mind that you're expecting. Mm-hmm. And B, we know each other inside out, up, down. We know each other's habit patterns that we wish that people didn't have. And you're more emotionally connected to people that are closer to you. So it's easier to be then emotionally activated with people. And so then when you're activated, are you working out of your flesh or are you working from your connection with God and out of the Spirit? So it's a common thing that I can love on people that I'm walking up to and hear what's going on with them and really listen. When it's the people I'm closest to, sometimes I can't stop to listen to what's going on with them because I make a whole lot more assumptions about what's going on based on behavior instead of what could be going on in the back of their mind.
Yeah. Well, and how often do you have something going on nobody knows and they just go on about their day and give you a glance and keep going, and you're like, dang, I wish I was seen right now.
Mm-hmm. I see you.
Well, thanks. A lot of people see me.
You're very seen.
Because I'm so hot. Too busy doing hot guy stuff. Anyways, let's tie this back into business a little bit more. We were talking to our team this week and church this week about, we've been going through the book of Joshua, going into the promised land. You know, prior to crossing over into the promised land, when we're out in the wilderness, we have sandals that don't wear out. We have manna on the ground every day. We have the fire and the cloud that lead us where we're going. And we finally get released into the promised land, and the water stops. We walk through. As soon as you walk through, no longer do you have sandals that last forever or food on the ground waiting for you. You get into Joshua, and it starts talking about all of the people groups that they're just murdering, mm-hmm. Because the Lord tells them to take the land. There's people in your land. It's a little different back then than it is today, so it's hard to reconcile all the violence and mm-hmm. murder, but they no longer belonged in their land because it was given to them by the Lord and they were told to take it. So the question I posed was, does anybody have a promise or a purpose they know that the Lord's calling them into? And if you do, why haven't you taken the step, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if you receive prophetic words too, which could be a whole other podcast, but somebody could hear from the Lord and say, Hannah, you're going to sell out stadiums with your guitar, but if you don't go pick your guitar up, you ain't selling out nothing, mm-hmm. you know? But we, so often, I talk to people, and like, I just got a promise from the Lord, just waiting for him to show up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he showed up with the word. The word mm-hmm. was where he showed up. Now, you've got a promised land to take, so you got to do your part. Mm-hmm. If you don't take the action, I mean, I can get a word that you're going to do $100 million in business, but if I don't start making some phone calls and doing some work, it's not just, my phone's just not going to start ringing, mm-hmm. you know? And there's something significant about partnering with the Lord. He will take us where we want to go, but we got to be involved in that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of people think, man, God stuff is just going to be easy and he's just going to do it for me. And he's not going to. Mm-hmm. It's abundantly obvious all through scripture that's not going to happen. But Joshua's a great picture of that. Like, here's the promised land. This is the place we scouted out a long time ago and everybody was scared. And now those that weren't scared that wanted to take it are leading you into it. And you get to go in, but now you got to take it. Mm-hmm. And what did they say originally? With God with us, we can take this land, mm-hmm. you know, land of milk and honey, but you have to take it. So the whole picture there is you've got big dreams in business, you got things you want to do. Faith is important, but it's also important to partner with the faith and put feet to the faith mm-hmm. and not just expect somebody else to hand it to you or to run mm-hmm. off of luck or just think that I'm supposed to make tons of money to help lots of people, so I guess I'm just going to wait for an inheritance I don't know is out there to show up. Uh-huh. You know, has that happened? It has happened, but that's not the norm for society.
Yeah.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I was just thinking back to when I moved into real estate. It was so weird. I like pulled into the parking lot at Keller Williams to take you a notebook for a class we were facilitating, and when I pulled into the parking lot, I just felt it like a ton of bricks in my lap. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a realtor. I'm going to start doing this. And then I thought, no, I'm running on emotion. This is weird. I wasn't sure that that's what I needed to do. And I asked the Lord for a very clear confirmation that that's what I was supposed to do. It was actually because I was moving on to Momentum Group at that time. Mm-hmm. I asked the Lord to show me the word momentum in print to confirm that I was supposed to do this. Like, so God, if that really was you, I want to see, because that's a big life change and adjustment. Mm-hmm. And I want to see this word momentum. Well, I was working for CPS at the time. And so I was very busy from beginning of the day to the end. So I completely forgot about that fleece that I had put out and I mm-hmm. went about my day and totally forgot about it. I journal. And so I'd kept my journals on a shelf. And that night I just felt like I just need to go look through my journals because I've journaled about old dreams that I've had and sometimes they make more sense now. And I just wanted to get some encouragement from some dreams or anything that I'd had in the past. So I felt like there was one that I needed to open and start looking. I'm flipping through the pages and there in my own handwriting is the word momentum. by the end of the day. I had forgotten I'd even thrown out that fleece until I saw the word that night. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I still hadn't, you know, several days later, I still hadn't actually registered for my real estate classes. And I was like, okay, God, I know I'm being stubborn, but like, if this is really you, I just need to see it again. And that night I was looking for a gymnastics leotard for my daughter online. And lo and behold, there's a gymnastics leotard called Momentum. Mm. And I was, so then I just right then and there signed up for real estate classes. So I hung on to that for the longest time. Even if I had struggling periods, it was like, no, this is where God called me. This is where he's told me I'm going to go, and this is what I'm going to do. And all of that said, sometimes things are for a season. Sometimes they're for a long time. And so I try to pay attention if he's telling me, no, now we're going this way, or no, now we're going this way. And I think a lot of agents right now, because of the market, have been compelled to go and look to get a more steady stream of income, mm-hmm. even those who have been in the business for quite some time. And I put out resume 3 different times for positions I would be very well equipped for given my education and background, and I didn't get called for an interview on any of those positions. And I was like, okay, like if those doors aren't opening, am I operating out of fear instead of just staying put and do the work, right? Like mm-hmm. doing the things that need to be done to continue to build my business.
Yep.
And stop operating out of, there's fear of failure, and then the flip side of that coin is fear of success. What's going to happen if I succeed? And so then stalling yourself out because you're afraid you don't have what it takes to be able to succeed. But all of this said, like, I try to stay in step with, like, okay, am I operating out of a trust for the Lord right now, the trust for him to be my provider instead of my bank account to be my provider? Am I operating out of a trust for where he's called me? And if he wants to open another door for me, if I'm putting in a resume, and that door's going to open if I'm supposed to shift mm-hmm. gears right now. And so just trusting and then being fully attentive in doing the work that I'm called to do where I am, unless and until I'm told with clarity to go a different way.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not clarity. Sometimes we don't hear with clarity, right?
Sometimes we don't hear with clarity. Like, for me, I didn't hear with clarity, but I knew that I don't want to have to sell my own house.
Right.
So I needed to, you know, I've got to be able to provide for my family. So for me, it was just like practicality.
Mm-hmm.
But then that door wasn't open. And the other piece of that is that door didn't open. And also a lot of things I've been plowing ground for over the past year started really landing.
Yeah, that's good.
All at once. And it's just this confirmation, like, I've got you where I want you. You mm-hmm. do the work and you're going to, you know, this is where I've called you. And then to have that encounter the other day with the person I was telling you about earlier,
mm-hmm.
just a reminder that this is not a job, it's ministry. I'm yeah. here. I feel like my job in this career field is to partner with the Lord, because he knows where he calls us to be. He knows where we're going to live. He knows, he's been there before. He knows what's happening. Mm-hmm. And all I'm doing is saying, like, I'm going to partner with you and help put the pieces into place and trust you, Lord, that you're bringing people the house they're supposed to be at, and you're bringing the buyers to the new houses that they're supposed to be at, and just like partnering with him in the process.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's good. Do you know anybody that says, I was asking the Lord the other day whether I should use this pepper or that pepper on my chicken, and the Lord told me this, and I'm not that guy, right?
Yeah, no.
So same. There's some people that feel like they've got to talk to the Lord when they need to go to the bathroom, which stall to use, and all that stuff. And I'm not going to be ever the one to say somebody's not hearing or getting too carried away. But for me, I feel like sometimes you have multiple choices in front of you, and the Lord's like, make a decision and I'll meet you there. It's real easy to be like, Lord, which one of these am I supposed to pick? And sometimes it's like, hey, just pick what you want to do and let me run with you in that. You don't have to have me make your decision. Now, obviously, I want to pray for wisdom and always want to have more and more of that. Lord knows I need it, or he wouldn't have us praying for it. But I think for some people, they need to understand that you might have a couple of opportunities, And sometimes they're both available. Now, if you feel like the Lord's telling you not to do something and you still do it, well, then, you know, it might not end so well. But when you've got some choices and you say, you know what, this is the one I think I want to go with, I'm going to go with it. I've just never done that and been like, my whole life was ruined.
So,
because the Lord wanted me to do something else and I missed it and I went the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's bigger than that.
Well, there's a verse that is one of my favorite verses. It's whether you go to the left or the right, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, go in it. And I always thought it was that, well, once you're walking with the Lord and you're accustomed to where he wants you to go, you're going to go either way. And he's going to be like, hey, I'm here.
Mm.
We're here. But more recently, I was reading that particular section in the Bible and it just had a different light on it. And it's that when you, whether you go to the left or the right, you're going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, go in it. And I just got this picture of like, if I'm traveling, trekking down, going right, and I should have gone left, the Lord is going to be there to be like, hey, this is the way, go in it. So it might be to say, you're here, you're on the right path, this is the way, go in it. It might be to be pointing back and saying, this is the way, go in it, and directing you back where you need to do. Yeah, to get you where you're supposed to be. And so God's just so much bigger and more capable of managing our wrong turns, all of that.
That's why I think that I don't think he has any interest in us paralyzing ourselves trying to make the absolute right call that he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
If you missed it, he'll be there. If you get it right, then you'll know.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes both doors are there and you get to make a choice of, hey, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you ever done that with your kids?
Oh, no, I don't give my kids choices.
Well, right.
I mean, I tell them what to do. I say jump, and they say how high.
Yeah, well, there's nobody in your family jump very high. Okay, that's it. 3 inches. Jump 3 inches. I got to get a running start. Yeah, it's like, hey, sometimes I want my kiddos to do what they want to do,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll be like, oh, I know you want to do that, but that's a bad, bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to regret it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they do it anyways, and then they regret it. And sometimes they don't, but they, you know. But I think if you hear the Lord telling you, then you probably ought to heed that. But if you're not getting an answer, it doesn't mean there's not one. It means, mm-hmm. what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, we've just enriched so many lives right now.
Mm-hmm. For at least 30 minutes.
Yeah, well.
What's the biggest thing you would want people to take away?
I just want people to understand that church doesn't have to happen inside the four walls of the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I encourage people, if you're Christians or even if you're not, you want to know a little bit, watch The Chosen.
I almost mentioned that earlier.
So fantastic at giving a picture of what Jesus looked like to people.
Mm-hmm.
And every episode, I've only been through the first two seasons because I got to get the app. But the first two seasons, every single episode at the end, I'm wrecked because mm-hmm. I can see myself in the person that was the main character of that story.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like is he meets them where they're at, and they all of a sudden at the end of each episode, they realize he just loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of this stuff I've done is not the point. The point is he loves me, and I actually know I'm loved. And all of this other stuff is not, that's not his concern.
What a weight it is off of our shoulders when we realize I don't need to be telling anybody else what they're doing or what they need to be doing. I need to love them the way Jesus loves me.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy and burdensome when we feel like we need to be talking to people about what they need to be doing, that we need mm-hmm. to be straightening them out. And that's not, I'm not talking about when you're calling people to accountability who are close to you, that you're in relationship with and that are walking with the Lord, and that's accountability, that relationship is there. But I'm saying in general, as a society, sometimes we have a tendency to walk around, and man, like what a burden to just throw that off of your shoulders and be like, hey, I'm here to love you the same way that Jesus loves me. And when we recognize how much he loves us in spite of our own sin, and we really become acutely aware of that, it's easier to go, man, I'm going to see this person and how Jesus loves them.
Yeah.
And to see who they are. I heard a sermon once that was so mind-boggling to me, and it was about the fact that, you know, Jesus said, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then Saul was stoning Stephen because he was Jesus' disciple. And as he was being stoned to death for being a Christian, he said the same thing. He prayed, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. If they knew who they were, they wouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. And that is what in the spirit released Saul so that on the road to Damascus, those scales could fall off of his eyes. Mm-hmm. Because Stephen saw him for who Jesus says he is. And he said, forgive him. If he knew who he was, he wouldn't be doing this. And that forgiveness paved the way for him to have the scales taken off of his eyes and to know who he really is. It's pretty like massive when you think about mm-hmm. forgiveness and recognizing that people who are sinning against you or sinning in ways, like they just don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. They have scales on their eyes and they don't know. And we, as representatives of Jesus, have to see past behaviors and say, I see you for who you really are. And you don't have to tell them that, but you have to see who Jesus says they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what empowers people to become. Yeah. When you treat them like who they really are instead of how they're behaving.
Yeah, true story. Well, you know, it's like for us, squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice to come out. If a believer and a non-believer get squeezed and pressed in whatever their situation is, if the responses are the same, maybe you're not in the spot you thought you were, you know?
It's true.
Like, and my response has to look like different than someone that's lost, and sometimes it doesn't.
That's what I was about to say. And sometimes if I'm not in alignment, doesn't.
Then I end up with that prayer of, I really like my second thought I have to be the first one, because I have that first thought and I'm like, dadgum, I should have responded this way. So I hope everybody listening understands that this is, we're all in a continuous walk, I think, through all eternity to keep learning and transforming and becoming more like Jesus. I would just say to close out, if you see people and you don't think they know Jesus and they're not behaving like they know Jesus, maybe try to show them what Jesus looks like rather than beating them over the head with the church. Mm-hmm. And show them what love looks like so they'll be drawn to what you're carrying. And I also encourage you, don't put people in the place of God so when they fail, you no longer believe in Jesus or the church, because the person who you put all of your faith in rather than Jesus failed. We don't realize we do that till we do it, and then all of a sudden we're out there in the wilderness because we thought that this pastor, that's the perfect representation of Jesus, and then that pastor fails or hurts my feelings, and now I'm just walking away from religion altogether and Christianity, when if we could do it without failing, then our name would be Jesus. Mm-hmm. So just remember that as well. It's very easy to get offended and lose your way over a fence that is not worth carrying. We could have lots more topics about this stuff. We just scratched surfaces. So go get prostate before the Lord and see what you come up with. Over and out.
Over and out. 10-4.
See you a little later, good buddy.
Thanks for listening. Please share with your friends, leave us a review, and come back next week for the next episode.